So what we are going to do, we are going to do with you. Unplug your ears, yeah? Put out your antennas and listen carefully, yeah? Best things come last. There's one thing that you might want to try, yeah? Mostly the young generation doesn't even know that they have a body, yeah? So, I mean, there's a method how to get in touch with the body, yeah? Some people might know it or heard of it, you know, it's a point-by-point method, you know, where you can get in touch with the body. And so you choose one point, you know, at the top of the head, you know, until you go down to your feet, yeah, point by point, yeah, and just feel the sensation. If you can't feel, you know, most of the path, you know, you won't feel any sensation. Just go to the next point, yeah. And if you do that regularly, you can go very deep inside the body as well, yeah. So that is a method, you know, I found useful, you know, I was taught, you know, somewhere in England, yeah. And I found it very useful. I did it for a year or so, you know, and I could get really in touch with my body, you know, and also, you know, felt, you know, where there are knots and where there are blockages, and then you can unblock them. So that is quite useful. Yeah. You probably can find it somewhere on YouTube, you know, I mean, the explanation of this method there. I think Ayakema, you know, used to teach it. Anyway, I mentioned, you know, sila, that is important, the five precepts, you know, to come back as a human being. But, you know, if you want to go to heaven, there's something more important, yeah? We not only need to keep the sila, because that only brings us back to the human realm. If you want to go up to heaven, I mean, there are three requirements, yeah? One is generosity. Being generous, yeah? Generous to the family, generous to the parents, generous to your relatives, generous to strangers, yeah? Be it in form of assets, be it in form of, you know, I mean, giving help, yeah? That's generosity. If it's not enough developed, you stay in the human realm, yeah? If it is, yeah? If this, you know, and then what is the second? Respect. We respect people, beings, everyone, even the ones who come late. Sneaking in, yeah. We respect people even if we don't like what they are doing, because they are beings, yeah. Like everyone has been, you know, is a being, you know, so we can respect beings, you know, human beings, animals, you know, and so on, yeah. We respect them, you know, that they are beings. We don't need to respect what they are doing, yeah. If they are really bad, you know, we don't have to respect that, yeah. But we respect them being beings, yeah, who just go the wrong way, yeah. But that's their problem, not our problem, yeah. Our problem is, you know, not being able to respect other people, you know, who we think are bad people. That's our problem, yeah? Because that is also not respecting ourselves, huh? Not the bad part, you know, that we don't want to see and other people try to point out all the time and we don't want to acknowledge it, yeah? That it also helps us to respect ourselves as we are, yeah? There, you know, when we are born, you know, in any kind of realm, there is evil in our heart and there is good in our heart. Remember this. We are not born as, you know, only good people, yeah? We wouldn't be born here, especially not as a human being, yeah? We are born with evil in our heart and we are born with goodness in our heart. So, remember that, huh? So don't look down on other people, huh? Respect. And gratitude, being grateful for what is given to us, yeah? Being grateful to our parents, A little bit difficult, They put so much effort, I mean, if we are parents, you know, we know it, I mean, 20 years, the first thing, you know, they wiped off our shit, That came out of the body, you know, they wiped out, you know, when we puked on them, you know. Being grateful for that, you know, and then the work for us, you know, that we can go to school, that we have clothes to wear, you know, that we have food to eat, you know, and that we have, then we can go to university, Being grateful, I mean, the Western attitude, you know, I mean, the Western attitude has crept into Singaporeans as well, I mean, Singaporeans are half Asians and half Westerners, So being grateful to the parent, being grateful to our teachers, in school, They tried to teach us, but we didn't listen, Sometimes, Or we look down on them. Being grateful to, you know, to our landlord. Being grateful, you know, to the people who give us work. Nothing is our right except our karma, So being grateful for the opportunity that is given to us, you know, for the opportunity that is given to you here in the meditation hall, It's all for being grateful, Being grateful to the teacher, being grateful to any opportunity that is given to us, And these three, I call it prerequisites. These three prerequisites: generosity, respect, gratitude, And plus the sila, you know, that if we develop them very well, you know, then we can go up to heaven for a while until our merits, you know, run down, and then we come probably down to hell. Then we stay there for a while, you know, repent our sins, you know. Or go to prison, you know, whatever you want to call it, you know. Nothing is lasting. Heaven is not lasting. Hell is not lasting. Ghost realm is not lasting. None of the realms are lasting, you know. The human realm, we know it is very short, what did the Lord Buddha mention? Some of the beings, you know, live for 800 years, But we just live for 80 years, But they were good, They were morally very good, you know. They didn't have so much problems, Be it, you know, our civilization, you know, only knows one thing: war, fighting each other. I mean, it starts in the family, We fight, brothers fight, you know, each other, you know, sisters fight the brothers, sisters fight each other, you know, we fight the parents, you know, and then it goes out, you know, in a bigger community and bigger community until it is a state, But the worst is the West, is the barbarians, Why do I call barbarians, you know? I mean, the Chinese invented the gunpowder, For what? For their entertainment, For shooting up rockets, you know, enjoying that, Fireworks, Westerners saw that. We can kill somebody with it, Let's use weapons, Always thinking, you know, I mean, all these inventions, you know, were made for, you know, that come from the West are made for war, And, you know, if it was useful later on, you know, for the humankind, you know, then they put it for human use, But the first thing was weapons, nuclear weapons, And then came nuclear energy, That's it. That's us, Only think about war. These three prerequisites. Remember the word? Generosity, gratitude, respect, Is also necessary for us in our practice, Not only keeping the sila. I mean, if we practice, you know, and if we get stuck, and I see a lot of Westerners getting stuck at a certain point, you know, in meditation, they can't progress because they lack gratitude, respect, and generosity. So that is something, you know, I don't have to teach it in Thailand because it is, yeah, I mean, it is inherent in their nature, in their, you know, in their upbringing, you know. You don't have to teach them, and you don't hear, you know, Lung Dam Ha Bo, you know, teaching that. You know, sometimes he talks a little bit about generosity, but the other things are inherent in their culture. But because you are half Asian and half Western, I better mention it, yeah? So these things are important, you know. I mean, generosity doesn't always have to be, you know, in combination with monks or monasteries or things like that. You know, it can be anywhere. Yeah? You can be generous to a stranger. You can, you know, you can help him out. You see, you know, he's stuck somewhere. You know, help him. Yeah, or he has no food to eat, and then you invite him to give him some food. Yeah. I mean, this is generosity, you know. I mean, it doesn't only need to be for monks, yeah? Understood? Huh? Respect others, you know, yeah? In order to respect yourself, yeah? We have bad sides, you know, that we don't respect, yeah? Huh? And when other people point it out, you know, I mean, we try to defend it or not acknowledge it, yeah? So respecting other people, you know, doesn't mean that we have to think, you know, that they are good people, yeah, but they are people, or they are animals, yeah, so we can respect them, learn to respect, yeah, and being grateful for what is given to us, not demanding this, not demanding that, huh? I want more race. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to work here. Huh? Thank you for giving me the opportunity to live here. Yeah. Ah. Now we think, you know, with money we can buy anything. No. Yeah. We can't buy a job. Yeah. If somebody gives us a job, you know, it is because of our, you know, because of our karma and because of their generosity. Yeah. So. Remember this well, yeah? Huh? Anybody understood it, yeah? Hopefully, yeah? And then, you know, and then practice, yeah? Huh? So what is important in our life, yeah? when we really want to progress, you know, with our meditation, no matter, yeah, I mean, maybe we hum from one meditation retreat to the next, yeah, I mean, once in a while, you know, every month or 2 months or 3 months, you know, we go to a meditation retreat, yeah, I mean, then we have to start anew, huh? Because, I mean, over the time, you know, forget it. So, in order not to forget it, yeah, I mean, let us start, you know, every morning, you know, with meditation. Yeah? At least 45 minutes, you know, if you can do it 1 hour. Yeah? Before you even go to work. Yeah? And then you go to work or do your things. Yeah? I mean, on the weekends you can even do one meditation in the afternoon or midday. Yeah? And one afternoon in the evening, you know, when you come back from the work. And after that you do your daily reflection. Yeah? Don't forget it. Daily reflection is undermining the power of the kilesas, yeah? I mean, look at your life, yeah? I mean, if you don't believe me, look at your life. You never reflect about what you're doing, why you're doing, what the results of your doing is, yeah? What you're saying, why you're saying it, and what the results of your words are, yeah? We don't look at it, we just do it, nah? Yeah? With this daily reflection, you know, we get aware of what we are doing, why we are doing, and what the results of our doing is. Yeah? And we teach the heart. So that is really important, yeah, to change our life. I mean, if as long as you want to have a better life, you know, a more satisfactory life, yeah, then you should do it. Yeah. If you don't, you know, I mean, it's up to you. Yeah. But you wouldn't be here. And then, you know, I mean, If you can, you know, just before you go to bed, you know, 15 minutes, yeah, just calm the mind and then you will have a wonderful sleep, yeah? Huh? No worries, you don't need to have any sleeping pills because you can't sleep, yeah? Just calm the mind down, putu, 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 you know? And then it falls asleep by itself, yeah? And then when we are rested, you will wake up and the first thing that we do is meditation, yeah? I mean, that really, you know, that really helps us, you know, to keep a certain level, yeah? If you can, you know, if you can really upachara samadhi, then it's fine, you know, we might be able to keep that level. If not, you know, at least, you know, I mean, we stay focused, yeah? And develop sati, you know, develop sati during your practice, yeah? When you wait for the bus, you know, putu putu putu. When you wait for the metro, putu putu putu, yeah? When you sit in the metro, putu putu putu, yeah? And then get the app, you know, I mean, whenever you open your phone, putu 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 putu. I have to find an app developer, you know, who does that for me. I mean, it's so important, yeah? Yeah, whenever you have time, when you do, you know, when you have a coffee, when you go to the toilet, putu 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 putu, yeah, I mean, whenever, yeah? I mean, that really, you know, that really helps, yeah? I know from myself, yeah, I mean, I did the reflection, and then I suddenly saw, you know, in the morning I went to work, you know, and then 8 hours passed by, I didn't know what I was doing, you know, a little bit of memory, but I don't know what happened, yeah, and then I came back home and did meditation and said, what the hell is going on, you know, why can't I have any sati? So I said, okay, whenever you drink a coffee, Buddha, 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 yeah? Whenever you go to the toilet, Buddha, Buddha, Buddha. Whenever you go and have some food, Buddha, 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 yeah? So, and then, you know, I mean, then I could break down, you know, the parts, you know, the hours by hours by hours. But in the beginning was just one blank, 8 hours blank. What happened? Yeah? So, that helps. Okay, so I think I mentioned now everything, you know, everything that is important, you know, for you to practice. Huh? Yesterday I talked a little bit about prophecies, yeah, not apocalypse, apocalypse. Yeah, I mean there is, yeah. I mean, even if this world goes down, I mean, we have been on other planets. We just are being reborn on another planet. So what is the point, you know? Why this fear of apocalypse? Yeah? I mean, yes, this planet, we know nothing in this universe lasts forever. Yeah? This planet, you know, this planet will go down, the sun will get bigger and swallow up this planet and all the other planets. Yeah? So what's the point, yeah? And we are just born on another planet. I mean, how many planets have we been born into, onto, huh? So what is the big, big fear, yeah? What is the big fear of it, yeah? What is the big point of it, yeah? I mean, when you look, yeah, when you look at, from a Buddhist point of view, you know, I mean, there's, huh? Yeah? Let's just go to another planet and be reborn there, yeah? I mean, so many planets there, yeah? Huh? I mean, there are even planets, you know, with human beings there, you know, one, I think it was Mogalana who traveled there and said, but these human beings, they don't have as many features as we. They look very much similar to each other. We look very different, you know. I mean, so he went there, you know. He didn't find his way back, you know. I mean, at that time there was a Buddha, and then these two Buddhas connected, and he could go back to Earth, you know. At least that's a story, you know. I don't know if it's true. It's a nice story. But there are other planets with human beings on it, so I mean, we don't worry, yeah? And we have been born on other planets, so I mean, apocalypse, you know, has no meaning. Really, it has no meaning, yeah? We might even not be there, you know. We might be up in heaven or might be down in hell, you know, and waiting just for the next planet to be ready for us. There are some beings, you know, make the planets ready for us, yeah. So, and what I was talking about, the prophecies, you know, I mean, it is for your ears only. Huh? I mean, don't propagate it, you know. I mean, some people will react with fear, and that is the least thing that we want to, yeah. I mean, it has to be something positive. We have to take something positive out of it, you know. What is going to happen? But if you tell it anybody, you know, I mean, they might become afraid, you know, they miss their whole life, you know, right? Because of when it's going, I mean, keep it to yourself, I will cut it out of the video, so I won't post it, If people are interested, of course they can look it up, But these people are interested, So they have a way to deal with it, So, I mean, just keep it to yourself, But anyway, you remember Cassandra? Have you ever heard of Cassandra? You know, I mean, the Trojan princess, I mean, who told her father, don't put in the horse, Because, you know, the Greeks are inside, And nobody believed her. And then they pulled in the horse, and the Greeks who were inside opened the gate, and all the Greek soldiers murdered, slaughtered, burned down everything, Because nobody believes prophecies, We don't want to believe the bad things, But what I told you about two prophets, I mean, there were many who prophesied, the 3 days of darkness, but I only, take two, I mean, one of them, if you want, this Edgar Cayce or the sleeping prophet, if you really want to know anything about Atlantis, how they lived, go to his website, or find out, there's a book, from his son about Atlantis where he took all the readings, and put it together. It's quite interesting. But there's a much more interesting book, based on his readings, and that is called A House with Many Mansions. That tells about, people who were born, in the 17th century and then reborn in the 19th century. I mean, because what they did in the 17th century, that is what the result is of what happens to them in the 19th century. It's a very good book, if you want to understand karma much more, for people who are interested in karma and what kind of actions, lead to what kind of results, go ahead and read it, It's called A House with Many Mansions, And it's based on the Edgar Cayce readings, And so the other thing is, when World War III starts, you count up 3 months, I mean, it starts in end of July, in beginning of August, and then 3 months later, the 3 days of darkness come. That will be end of October and beginning of November, And then prepare yourself for the 3 days. I don't know what else is going to happen. A lot of turmoil, This we can't prepare ourselves. But for the 3 days of darkness, keep inside. Don't breathe, go out and breathe the air, because, you will die within a few minutes. That's all what I know, But you can meditate, go in Apana Samadhi 7 days. You come on. And everything is clear. Okay, that's all what I wanted to say, Now your last question, you have the opportunity, otherwise you have to go to Udon,
Ajahn, this is on my sticky thoughts that comes up a lot during meditation and it revolves around the tea. So I think my meditation got better because at first I was very, I keep getting stuck with future thoughts and then thoughts about the future. And then I did the aggressive interrogation method where you say that you confront the person. And then the future thought was one. And then he went to the next stage where he was good memories. So it took me a couple of hours to realize that this thing. And then now the trickiest one is it comes in the form of Dharma, Like today, during the 1.5 hour session, I had 4 recounts of me having like a 1-to-1 Dharma talk with you, and I knew it was Kalisa because at the end, the fourth one, I went out of my meditation completely. So then, do you have any tips on how to deal with stress?
Yeah. The only way is, you know, the moment you realize that this is the Dhamma talking, you know, go back to the Buddha or go back to the present. I mean, it does happen, yeah. It also happened to me, you know, I gave a Dhamma talk for 5 hours, yeah. Until I realized, you know, what I was doing, yeah. And sometimes it happens like that. But then at the same time I noticed, oh, you can sit 5 hours without any pain, you know. So I mean, the moment you realize, just go back there. But it is, you know, it's sticky, yeah. Realize it, you know, but the sooner you come back and the more often you go back, you know, I mean, the less it comes up.
And the investigation will help me get past this much faster, like investigation, like if I were to do investigation.
Yeah, if you do investigation, it normally doesn't come up.
Thank you.
Okay. Last chance.
I was having this excruciating pain. So I don't know that there's Kalisa telling me to stop, because once I stop I know it's not gonna be painful. It happens many times. So this time I remember you say just one more breath. So I did that. So every breath I took, it got worse. Okay. Breathe in. So, and if I breathe slowly, it's slowly increasing the pain as well. So after 5 breaths, I still watching the pain. I need a solution. So I call in help, the medicine Buddha, or the local deities, Devas, with all the merits that I have today. Please help me with my situation. It's. So what happened is, the shin bone appears.
What?
Shin bone. Because my leg, my bone,
yeah,
it appears. So I look at it, it's pure white, there's no blood. So you know, my attention gets there, I look for a pain, I couldn't see. The pain is in the background, it's actually dissolving. Then I know it's the time, I mean, I have enough time. It was very painful. So I stop my meditation, and immediately I touch my foot. My calf, zero cramp. But the pain is in there for 2 seconds, I can see. Then it disappears.
When does it disappear?
After I come out, I touch my calf, there's no pain, zero, very clear. But I can see the pain is still there for 2 seconds, and it just disappears.
Yeah, 2 seconds.
Yeah. But is the pain real? It's real.
No, it's not real.
It's very painful.
Yes, it's just very painful. It's excruciating pain, and everybody here in this auditorium can tell you. Yeah? But the moment you stand up, it is not.
Exactly.
Why is it not? I mean, if you cut yourself, the pain is there constantly.
Exactly.
Yeah? Yeah? Not only 2 seconds. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah?
But this kind of pain, when you get up, yeah? And then you think about something else, the pain is gone.
Yeah, it's more of like diverting my attention. When I was having meditation, I know it was painful, it wasn't excruciating, there was pain. I know that my thoughts go there, I hear noise, because and that actually arises the irritation. So I do see that, and when the irritation subsides, I go back to my pain, it's no longer, either not, usually it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Because my attention,
yeah,
I actually allow my attention to get there. So if I were to concentrate on my breathing, which I know that's Kalisa, which I did, that was very painful. So do I have to talk? I can't just keep seeing it, right?
And then do the walking meditation.
So I have to stop.
I mean, yes, but you know, you stop because you said you tell yourself, I am defeated by the Kalisa. Yes, yeah. I mean, the Kalisa defeated you.
No, I didn't want to. So that's why, because if I were to give up, it will come again. It's not going to be my last thing. It's going to happen very fast the next time. So this time around, I defeated it because it is dissolving, so I stopped. Not because I didn't cut it off.
Realize, the moment we get up, you know, when we think, you know, the brain, the pain is exclusion, there's no problem with getting up, you know, and then, you know, but we have to, you know, we have to raise the white flag and say, I'm defeated. The Achilles has defeated me. And that is true. I mean, because when you stand up, you know, there's no pain. Yeah. So, I mean, who? Yeah. It's a Kilesa who raises pain. And that is our investigation. Yeah. So just notice, okay, I'm defeated. Next time I will be a little bit longer. And next time I will be a little bit longer. So each time maybe you will increase the time, yeah, until you can really investigate the pain. And there's another thing that you do wrong. Yeah. You're looking for something. And whatever you're looking for, you will find. You understand that? That's where people get into wrong kind of samadhi. They're looking for samadhi and you know that they're in samadhi, but they're actually, you know, it's only their memory of samadhi. Yeah. So it's not real samadhi. So you're looking for pain and you will find it. Of course you will find it. Yeah. Whatever we are looking for, that's what we find. Yeah. But it is not the real thing. Okay,
I understood. Yeah, we had to have experience,
but
look at it. So, I just
keep... Just have to concentrate on it, you know. Just don't worry about anything. Huh? I mean, worry about the mind that the mind says with the Buddha or with the breath. Don't worry about anything. Yeah. I mean, if you can't take the pain, you know, raise your white flag and say, okay, I'm defeated, you know, I get up. There's no problem with this. As long as we know what we are doing. Yeah. If you just get up and go off, you know, I mean, we don't know what we are doing. Yeah. The moment we say, okay, I can't bear it anymore, you know, I'm defeated, you know, I get up, you know, there's no problem. Yeah. Because the next time, you know, we can do it again. Yeah. But if we are defeated without us knowing or realizing it, you know, then there's no wisdom to it. Yeah. Okay?
Thank you.
Hello, Vision. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Yeah, today is Sunday and early in the morning. Yeah. So this body need to ask the uncomfortable questions. Okay. Pandey Ati, you gave a very good illustration about the driver.
About what?
The driver. Yeah, the car.
Mm.
Okay. This question is related to these two.
Yeah.
Because of them, okay. Yeah. So consistently related to your talk since this morning. So during the last moment when the car broke down,
yeah.
What happened to the dream? How he came up? You think someone pulled him up? He go by himself? Or
that all depends on. On your karma, that all depends on the state of mind. Yeah. If you have mindfulness, if you have sati at that moment, yeah, you realize that the car breaks down, yeah, and then you look around and you see you cannot prepare the car, the body has died, yeah, and then you go and look for another body. Yeah. But some people, you know, are just pulled out of their car or pulled out of the body and are driven down to hell. Yeah. They have no chance, yeah. Other people, you know, who have sati, I mean, they have a choice where to go. But if you don't have sati at that moment, yeah, when you're overcome by pain, yeah, and you give in to the pain, I mean, then you go the mainstream, I mean, your biggest kind of karma, yeah, that leads you automatically to where you're going. So what is that you don't understand?
So if it happened in the ICU.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah. I mean if you're unconscious, huh?
Yes. So
I mean, normally people,
unconscious.
I mean, if they are in a coma,
yeah.
I mean, unconscious, you know, I mean, that is not really where the chitta goes out. But in a coma, normally the chitta goes out, you know, goes traveling around, yeah.
So they make the chitta.
Yeah.
He's not aware. He's aware the car is still there. It's broken with
him. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a way, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, it takes a while, you know, to be aware of the situation, yeah. It all depends, you know, on how well you have practiced, yes. I mean, if you're completely occupied with the body, you might not even get out, you know, and then you might just, you know, fall into a black hole, you know, and when you wake up, you come back out. But if you have practice, you know, if you have sati, you know, I mean, then you can choose, yeah. There are lots of stories, you know, people who have been in a coma for years, you know, travel through all the realms of existence, yeah.
But the car is still not broken, yeah?
And the car is still there,
you know, there.
I mean, they keep it alive, yeah.
So what happens if you come back and suddenly, could crash your car?
No, the car doesn't crash, yeah. I mean, come back, you know, and they probably feel sorry. Feel sorry that their relatives have kept their car so long alive.
So still go back to the starting point. Puto.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about sati. If we have sati, we have choices, yeah. And if we have sati, we know what is going on, yeah. People who don't have sati, at the moment of the death, they don't know what is going on. They are just pushed, you know, into the direction of the strongest karma. And if people, you know, are in the ICU in a coma state, you know, I mean, turn off the machines. Let them peacefully go into the next life, yeah? I mean, nobody wants to go back to a broken body, yeah? Unless they have something to finish in this life. Then they might come back on their own. I mean, look at, I mean, they kept Lukpucha for 10 years, you know, in this coma, yeah? And until the lay people came, you know, and came to see Lukpucha, I said, Lord, what is it, you know? And then Lukpucha said, you know, don't torture Lukpucha, yeah? And turn off the machines, yeah? And turn off the good God, yeah? Because as long as the body is kept alive, there is a lifeline to the chitta. So it knows that there is still, you know. When it's shut off, you know, then the chitta can go, you know, wherever it wants to go, wherever it needs to go. But don't shut off the machine because you want to inherit the money. That's not a good idea. Okay, understood. More or less. That is good. More or less is good. Okay,
Ajahn, I'm sorry for asking a very basic question. Actually, sati is mindfulness or is it awareness?
Mind emptiness.
Sati. What is sati?
Yeah, mind emptiness.
Yeah.
The mind is empty of any occupation. I mean, I explained that, you know, I think on the first day or second day, yeah.
I remember on the first day you gave an example of mindfully crossing the road and getting knocked up by the car.
Mindfully what?
Did you say mindfully crossing the road?
Crossing
the road and then you didn't notice the car.
Yeah, but I didn't say that is something. That is mindfulness.
That's like the soul.
Yeah, we are mindfully, we are crossing the road, you know, we are mindfully not stepping on ants, you know, crossing the road, the side is red, you know, a car comes in fresh, and then we mindfully die. If you remember it correctly, that's why I said, you know, it's very different to sati. Sati is awareness. We are aware, yeah? We are aware of the ants, we are aware of the red light, we are aware of the situation around us. That is sati. The mind is not occupied with anything. I know it's true.
Because just now in answering the question of the other, you use mindfulness and start to interchange the three. Because
yeah, sometimes I say mindfulness, you know, I mean, I normally mean sati, you know. People complain about that, you know,
So mindfulness is not sati, or
the mind, mindful, yeah. The mind is full of one thing. Sati is mind emptiness. The mind is empty of all occupation. Yeah. So if you fully concentrate on one thing, that is mindful. Yeah. I mean, fully mindfully washing the dishes, you know, and not going out at all, that is mindfully washing the dishes. Yeah. But sati is a mind emptiness. It is aware of everything that is going on in the chitta. It's not occupied. Yeah. Fully means full on one object. Yeah. Empty means, you know, being aware of everything.
Sorry, then I have another question about, you see when you are eating, you puto puto, right?
Yeah.
Then if I puto puto, then I may not know what I'm eating. I can't taste the food.
How can you not?
Because my mind is a full
of puto. No. It's keeping your mind, you know, it's keeping your mind relatively empty. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, try it out. Puto, 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 puto. You know, you think that, you know, while you taste the food much more intensive than when you don't do the puto.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have one last question. You said that your parents object to you being a Buddhist monk.
No, I didn't say that.
I hear you say, like, you meditate for 2 years because the sister asked a question.
When I went to the monastery, I didn't ask for ordination. When I went to when I went into homelessness. And then my father said, you know, I'm an asocial being, you know, because, you know, I live off other people, you know. My mother said, I'm going to hell. And then I said, you know, okay, if this is hell, then I'd rather be in hell than any place else. When I became a monk, I asked them for permission, of course. Yeah, and they gave it. Because they said, it's your life, you know, you have to make the decision. Yeah? They didn't say it's good. But they gave the permission. They still thought, you know, it was the wrong way, but they said, okay, if you decide to do it, you know, we give you permission to do it. Yeah. Yeah. And then 7 years later when I came back, you know, they were very my father even cried, you know, when he saw me. Yeah.
Did your parents later become Buddhist, or did you actually
I didn't say anything. I didn't say it's of no interest. It's of no interest at all. Yeah. I mean, they had their parents, you know. Yeah. When they died, they came to see me, you know, and I gave them some merit, you know, so they can live up, you know, very nicely. Yeah. So.
Maybe I explain the context of my question, because you mentioned gratitude to parents,
yeah.
Right? So I'm sure we are all very grateful to our parents, and so if we see the...
No.
Hello.
Yeah, come on. I just said... Very few people are very grateful to their parents.
Okay. So maybe you are grateful to your parents,
yeah.
I'm grateful to my parents. So, if our parents are not on the path, right?
Yeah.
They don't practice meditation, they are not. They don't practice meditation. And then how do we actually bring them, repay our gratitude to them, bring them to the path?
They have their own life. Yeah. You do your thing. and they do their thing. And if you do your thing correctly, they will change.
Yeah.
Just like my parents changed, but they didn't become Buddhist because of that. Yeah. But they saw that what I was doing was good, was wholesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that, but I look at my progress, right? I don't think in my parents' lifetime they I don't think the progress would be so visible. So I'm a bit concerned and wonder whether there's any skillful means.
I mean, yeah, one more thing.
What kind of progress? Don't change your parents, change yourself. Yeah? Yeah? I mean, these are the guys. And have you been raised in a Christian family?
No.
Because that is what Christianity is, you know? I mean, that's what a priest is. They teach other people how to behave and they don't behave themselves. Huh? And that is us, and that is what you want to do. Yeah? Change yourself and you will change your environment. Huh? But you want other people to change because you're not, sometimes you're not even convinced that this way that you live is the correct way. So you want to convince others, you know, that Buddhism is the way, you know. Huh? Then the more you convince other people, the more you believe it, but it is not really coming from inside. Yeah? We want to convince other people that the life that we live is healthy, you know, because we ourselves are not convinced. If you are convinced that your life, you know, I always said to my parents, okay, that is my life, you know, I know what I'm doing, yeah. It's my life, you know, and I know what I'm doing, yeah. I don't have to convince them to become Buddhist. My mother asked after 2 years, what are you doing? Oh, I need to do that as well. See, that is the way how you convince others, by being an example. I thought I said that before. Huh? Yeah, but you know, I mean, you didn't unplug your ears.
It's like I feel that, and that's why I look at my progress. Like, I think that not a long time. I think they are going to die before I progress.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. I mean, what you can do for your parents is, you know, you share the merit of your practice with your parents. Yeah. I mean, when you go and work, you earn some money. You can share it with anybody you want. No? No? Yeah, you don't want it, you know. But you could share it with anybody that you want to share it with, the money that you earn. So the merit that you earn through your practice, you can share it, you know. And your parents are 100% be able to receive that merit that you share with them. If you struggle for 1 hour, you know, I mean, this is merit that you've done, you know, and this you can share with your parents. No? I want my parents to be Buddhist. No! Convince yourself first, you know, before you try to convince others. Huh? Understood?
Ajahn, one question. When we're doing sitting meditation, we can go into an investigation. But when we're doing or standing meditation, we can also go into investigation.
Yeah.
But when we are doing walking meditation, then we can't really investigate, right? Because it's going to be difficult.
When you do walking, when I did walking meditation, you know, I started there, I cut off my hands, you know, I cut off my arms, you know, I did everything, and on the way back I collected them back up. I mean, I said, you know, be imaginative, yeah, do things, you know, I mean, you can do everything, yeah. When you do walking meditation, cut off your body and what in the end is walking there, huh? You see all the body parts along, you know, what is walking there, huh?
Because I find that if you are restricted, because you said every time you reach the end, you stop.
No, no, it doesn't cut off. Yeah, I mean, you, at the end of the path, you can look at, you know, all the body parts, you know, that you cut off. Use your imagination, please. Yeah, I mean, you use it, you know, in the wrong ways, you know, but you know, now use it in the right ways. Okay, next.
Why do we invest
in meditation? Why do we what?
Do we invest in meditation earlier?
You're being what?
Trauma.
No, I mean you just go into other things. You go into feelings. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's not your Buddha meditation, or it's not Anapanasati. It's not, you know, breath meditation. Yeah, don't be interested. I said yesterday, you know, there are two rules. You know, that when you know you're on the right path. When you do breath meditation, you know, be aware the moment you're not with the breath, you're going off the path, yeah? The same with the Buddha. When you're not with the Buddha, you're going off the path, yeah? That is for samatha, yeah? Or for samatha, the only exception is pain meditation. Yeah? Then, you know, you stick with pain, you know, but you don't go off the path, yeah? When you do investigation, you stick with one object that you want to investigate, and then you don't go off this object. Then you do it right. If you go off this object, then you go on the wrong path. Yeah, it is very easy, you know, imprinted in your heart or imprinted in your mind, you know, so that you don't have to ask this question. Okay. I mean, there are lots of things that can happen, you know. I mean, if it happens, fine, you know, but it is not about meditation, yeah. It's something else, you know. I might come back from the from the past, you know, and just realize it and then go back to the Buddha. Don't worry about it. Understood?
It's so difficult to return to what I have.
Yeah.
Like, I have my body.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot go back to Buddha. It's so difficult.
Yeah, it's so difficult to learn to walk. Getting up, falling over, you know, after three times, oh no, I can't walk, yeah? But you can walk now. Huh? 1 year, it took you 1 year to learn to walk, huh? Yeah? And it will take you a year, you know, it took me 1.5 years, you know, I can learn to meditate properly. Understood? And I was trying every day, yeah? Yeah? For hours, yeah? Not just 5 minutes.
Thank you, Ajahn. Could you elaborate more about the investigations? Like, once we focus with one object, let's say it's a feeling or like it's pain, so what are we supposed to do in this investigation? Are we asking why is it pain or how does it look like? Thank you.
I mean, I explained it already. You weren't here, huh? Didn't I explain it? What to do with pain investigation? Look, yeah, first of all, feel the pain, then, you know, look, where is the pain, then see if it is anicca, anatta, or dukkha, you know, and then go and look, where is the source of the pain? Is it in the skin? Is it in the flesh? Is it in the bones? Is it in the tendons? Is it in the muscles? Yeah, where is the pain? That's how you do it. I mean, I explained it so often, you know, I mean, unplug your ears, please, yeah?
Like, maybe I'm mixing up between the practice and the knowledge. So when the pain is coming, it's like the mind is telling me like this is my nature. So like then the investigation is not there.
Yeah, I told you also, you know, not to listen to what is coming into the mind. Refuting it. Saying, I don't believe it, you know, and that's not true, you know, yeah. Whatever comes into the mind, forget it, yeah. Yeah, and that takes time, yeah. Because we always believe your mind, oh, I'm sitting not comfortable, yeah. And then reflect, you know, what you can do is, yeah, I'm sitting uncomfortable, yeah? Huh? Then reflect about when you're sitting with your friends, eating and chatting, you know, and maybe drinking beer, you know, I mean, you don't feel any pain. Huh? Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, go first.
For practicing of the Vipassana Dhammana, I actually practice slightly different. Because I practice using the form number two. So when during the Samatha Dhammana, so when the pain comes,
yeah.
I will use the form number two. So I start the form to come now there's pain.
Yeah.
Then second one thing form. So why there's to come? So the cause of the request is the cause of my desire. I do not want
The only problem is to let go of your desire because you can't let go. It is very difficult to let go of the desire. Yeah, I mean we have to cut down the desire, you know, by doing the right kind of practice. Yeah, yeah? So everything, you know, is okay. But normally I say never ask the why question. Yeah, why is the pain? You know. What is pain? Yeah? We want to understand what is pain, what is the nature of pain. You can say there is pain, you can use this anicca anatta dukkha, yeah? That's fine, yeah? You can use the first noble truth, there is dukkha, yeah? That's the first noble truth, I see the first noble truth, okay, let's feel it, let's investigate it, yeah? Let's see if it's anicca, if it is permanent, if it is impermanent. Huh? Let's see, you know, if it's anatta. There is pain, there is somebody who knows the pain. Okay, now let's weigh the pain. Okay? Yeah, where is the pain? Where is it? You get up and there's no pain. Huh? No, second, no, just first noble truth, stop there, yeah. Yeah? But use anicca anatta dukkha, yeah? There is pain, yeah? Is it constant? Is it, you know, changing? And you will see it's changing. It's changing all the time, yeah? It is area-wise, it is point-wise, you know, I mean, investigate, you know, what is pain, yeah? Feel it. We don't want to feel it, you know? Yeah? And that's where your desire comes on. I don't want to feel pain. And that's why you have more dukkha, yeah? And the more you push the pain away, you know, the more dukkha you have. Huh? Because it's also desire. Huh? But we cannot cut down on the desire. We cannot let go of the desire. I mean, I told it so often, yeah? Huh? And, yes, remember that. Good. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So, the other day you were talking about Elisa
being nagging.
What?
Elisa nagging.
Oh, the Kilesa snacking, yeah, okay.
Okay, so, what is why you're doing the observing of the breath when you're doing the Buddha, the thought suddenly bites back on you?
Say what? Yeah, what is the thought doing? I mean, a thought doesn't fight back. Bite. How can a thought bite? I've never seen a thought biting.
Yeah.
Yeah?
So, what is happening? What do you do when something like that?
I mean, I told you, go back to the Buddha.
But every time I come back...
Yeah, don't be interested.
Not interested?
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, it gets more and more intense, like, trying to go back to the Buddha.
Yeah.
Why is happening?
Why is it? Yeah. You have to struggle through, you know, just one Buddha, or one breath, after this one breath, and always return back, yeah? I mean, it's not easy, you know, I said for the young generation, I mean, even when I see, you know, young monks that I've just ordained, you know, who were brought up with a smartphone, they have no concentration span. I mean, the concentration span is about 2 or 3 seconds. Yeah? And that is what is happening to you, so you have to fight really hard, you know, to get it back. Yeah? Yeah, you just don't pay interest to the thought, and you return back to the Buddha. Yeah, don't use the breath, you use the Buddha. Buddha. Yeah, and there's no thought. I guarantee you, there's no thought can come in. Yeah. Okay.
People say that life is up and down, the very difficult and problems are there. Life. Then I started meditation only because I need some calm. Then I want to find a solution in real life, by facing daily life. Because I learned from the teacher, he living in normal life, in common people. He got married and he got a good job. What the normal people they want. But at the same time, he managed the spirituality. I strongly believe that I can do the spiritual and as well as normal people, I can live very well. But before I started this retreat, but now my heart is changing.
What is your question? I mean, there is a way for, you know, I mean, there's a way for lay people to live, and that I explained it, you know, what to do if you want to live a spiritual life as a lay person. But that is not the way out. Yeah? The way out of samsara is living a spiritual life, 100% spiritual life. Yeah? And that is either becoming a monk or living as a lay person in a monastery, you know, and that is how you live a 100% spiritual life, yeah? And then you might find a way out, yeah?
But they say...
Yeah, other people say other things, you know, I say this. Yeah, please, you know, I cannot say what other people say, you know, I mean... I know what I know. I know what the Lord Buddha teaches. I know what my venerable teacher teaches. You know, I know what Achaman teaches, and it's all the same. Yeah? It's always the same. You know, I know there are so many teachers, and I have met so many teachers. You know, and I thought, why do they say these things? You know, it has nothing to do with Buddhism, huh? Or with Buddha's teaching. Okay, you know, then you have to go and ask this teacher your question. Yeah. If you ask me, yeah, ask me my question, I give you the same answer as I give everybody. Yeah? Okay?
They attend the higher level in spirituality and as well in real life. They
If you said they attain the high level of spirituality in normal life.
Yeah, good for them. I'm happy for them. Yeah? But I know it's not true. I mean, there's so many people, oh, I am a Sotapan, especially from Myanmar, they come from Myanmar, practice with, what is this tradition in Myanmar?
Go
Mahasaida, yeah. Oh, I'm a Sotapanna already. Happy for you, happy for you. But go. They train the things in the mind, you know. Yeah. I mean, I don't. You know, it doesn't matter to me, you know. I know what the path is. Yeah. I mean, I walked my path. I walked my path, you know. I know what the teaching of the Lord Buddha is. I know what the teaching of Lumpumman is. I know what the teacher of my venerable teacher is. Yeah, and it's always the same. Yeah, sila samadhi panya. Yeah, and you cannot live it. You know, I mean, it is very difficult. You know, it needs special people. You know, I mean, yeah. To be able, you know, to attain a little bit, you know, spirituality in the lay life, yeah? But if they believe it, you know, let them believe it. Yeah? Until their belief crashes down and they realize, ah, well, that was fake. Yeah? Anyway, so. What do you do with the energy? What?
With less sleeping time. So at first he feels energized after 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
But later during the day, it will affect him.
What affects what?
The little amount of sleep.
The what?
Little amount of sleep that he had would affect him.
The question is whether if you're meditating more, can you do with less sleep?
Of course. Yeah, I slept 1.5 hours a day. Okay. That was enough. But then later on, you know, I mean, if the practice is not so good, then you sleep 2 hours or 3 hours, yeah? Yeah? I mean, it will affect you for the first 3 days, you know, I mean, the sleepiness will come, you know, but after 3 or 4 days, you know, it's gone, yeah? So you have to push through the first 3 days. Just like when you fast, you have to push through the first 3 or 4 days, yeah? And then it becomes, you know, becomes more obvious, yeah? Okay? Yeah, please, you know, I'm getting hungry, you know? And let other people ask the last questions, you know? I mean, you ask so many things, you know, are there not other people who have pressing questions, yeah?
My question is, how to love without attachment? There's a story I heard from Ajahn Brahm that when his father died, he didn't cry. He was reflecting for all the beautiful memories he created.
I don't
for
want to...
ordinary people, how we are able to do
that. Ajahn Brahm is full of attachment, yeah?
Really?
Yes. I mean, the last time I met him, it was 2011. The first time I met him, you know, I was quite inspired by him. And then I met him, well, that was 1991 or so, yeah? He was really inspiring, you know. And then I met him 2011, and I wasn't inspired at all. Anyway, that is my personal view, yeah? Yeah. So, I don't agree that he didn't have any attachment, yeah? Yeah, he might, you know, I mean, the Western people, you know, when the father dies, you know, okay, bye-bye. It's not the same, you know. Yeah? Some people don't have any attachment to that, you know, this kind of attachment, yeah. Yeah, but I'd ask an important question, not about other people, you know, other meditation practices. What? I mean, I told you the way how to get rid of attachment, huh? Sila Samadhi Panya. Okay, next question. I'm hungry, you know it. There's no progress. Yeah.
So basically, I'm a bit confused because today, within 5 minutes, there's our pulses, like our star pulse coming from the center of my heart.
I mean, you're pointing to your abdomen, not to your heart.
Yeah, it was racing very fast.
And yeah.
At the point of time when it first started, I was confused about whether I should follow my breath, which I normally do, or follow this. Because
no, follow your breath. I told you in the beginning, don't focus on the heart, yeah? You can dissect the heart, but don't focus on the heart while you meditate, you know, do samatha. Because you can stop your heart and then you die and, you know, you die in vain. Huh? I said so clearly, you know, there are two focus, yeah? I mean, you can use the Buddha or you can use the Dhamma or you can use the Sangha, yeah? As focal point, or you can use the breath. But it never said, you know, to meditate on the heart. Huh? It never gets lost. I mean, it is always the same problem. People try to make things happen instead of looking what is happening. So you see, you try to implement what I say, and that is not going to work. I said it will happen on its own, and then it doesn't fall into the physical heart; it falls into the chitta. And only, you know, only if everything is extremely calm. So a racing heart is never a sign of being calm. Yeah? Understand? Observe, and the things will happen naturally. Yeah? Don't do anything, don't try to, yeah? I mean, I know we are all control freaks. Yeah? We control our partner, we control our environment, we control our, you know, everything, yeah? Now we have to learn to observe. Okay? Okay?
Find clarification. So if in the future, like, it starts slow, then I know it's correct. Like in the center area, like you said, if it starts slow, then there's a possibility that, yeah, your meditation...
But you're taking away of the heartbeat, you know? You shouldn't. You should be aware of the breath. Yeah? So what you do is you focus instead of on the breath, you focus on the heart. That is not correct. It is correct, you know, when you focus and when the breath becomes very fine, the heartbeat is very slow. Yeah? But if you focus on the heartbeat, you know, then it's not the same thing.
Yes, very good.
Oh, it's so difficult. Oh. Yeah. I mean, we have one big question. You know, I'm needing to go down to eat because they put some food in my bowls.